You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, you are, specifically here on the couch with me, Dr. Michelle Cohen, as you always are. But now, our new time, 11 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time. And thank you all for joining us, whether you're on the radio or live on my podcast here. I have an amazing guest. Well, I always have amazing guests, but there she is. Hi, Brandi Gilmore.
Good morning, Dr. So Michelle. Nice it is you. So wonderful to connect with you. It's so wonderful to connect with you.
Likewise. Oh, well, today, folks, listen, you won't want to go anywhere because this is an amazing informational interview that you won't want to miss because we're talking about the astounding hidden power of the human mind. So if you out there or someone you know has been struggling with a disability or pain, and you know, you've been to so many doctors and they've given you meds and yada, yada, and they said things to you that are not really positive, and well, you're just going to have to be, don't buy it. Okay. Because my special guest here, Brandi Gilmore, is going to share with you her discovery, what she learned, what she teaches. And of course, we're talking about her book. It's Master Your Mind and Energy to Heal Your Body. You Can Be Your Own Cure. So amazing book, Brandi. Thank you so much. Really. I mean, boom. I mean, I've interviewed a lot of folks about energy healing and this. I like it because you do get into a lot of detail, but there's so many wonderful things that you bring up that really are helping people in this book learn that they have the power, you know. So I think I want to thank you for all this. This is great.
You're so wonderful, and thank you. And you just are. You're just sweet. I love your heart. I love your care. You're just beautiful. You're just a beautiful being. So thank you. Thank you.
Well,
You know,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, the reality of it is this is honestly the last thing that I ever thought that I would be doing. But as you mentioned, you get in that place where your doctors are telling you there's nothing you could do. And that was my life. And I literally went from doing network engineering, having a full life, to having an accident and being told there's nothing else. And it's hard.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. And I loved your story. By the way, don't miss her TED Talk because it's very powerful also. And all the other interviews she's done. I just want to pull up a little bio here so people can know more about you. And you've been featured on so many different media outlets and platforms. Shift Network. This is just to name a few, guys. Docuseries. You might have seen it on a scale from 0 to 10. Pain Revealed, Women's Health Secrets, along with Coast to Coast. Yay, George Nori, one of my wonderful friends. Harper's Bazaar, Brazil, Thrive Global, and more, and more. And there will be more. So anyway, this is just to name a few. Also, I want to give you a shout out for all of your accolades. I mean, I can't believe all the people who have said wonderful things about your book. But I mean... we're talking about David Perlmutter, world-known neurologist, New York Times bestselling author, essential reading for both those receiving care as well as those who provide it. Also, oh my God, Jack Canfield, really? Yep, co-author of Chicken Soup for Your Soul, folks. Anita Morjani, come on, I love her. and the list goes on.
Isn't she great? All of them. They're just great, great people. Great people with good hearts. I feel blessed to have good company.
Well, you know all about that. You know, attracting this, you know, like-minded beings. So you're right there, girl. But you did it, and thank you. So, you're welcome. Without further ado, I want to just kind of jump into your story because. Kind of blew me away when I heard it. Let's talk about your story. What motivated you to really start writing this book and finally present all this information?
You know, I just wanted to show people that we really can heal ourselves and that we're not stuck. You know, even if we think about it, we know that the mind affects the physical body. We've all heard of stress affecting the body. We've heard of the placebo, you know, and so we can see all of this evidence. And one thing that was shocking to me when I was going through my injury was the awareness that people with multiple personalities, with multiple personality disorder, could have different illnesses when they were in different personalities. And I thought, wait a second. Right. No.
And I love that. And I worked in a psychiatric facility for years. I mean, that's getting my internship. And we had several multiple personality folks, or as they call it now, dissociative disorder, people who were, you know, different genders and different personalities. And they found, like you said, can you explain some of that in your book, some of the different illnesses that each personality had? And some didn't.
Yes, some didn't. And that's what was shocking. And that, you know, and dissociative identity disorder, and I usually call it multiple personality because I think it's just
we do
everything. But yes, and even one, there's one well-known study of a woman who was medically blind in some personalities and not in others. And what was also really mind-expanding, if you will, is that the same personality would have the same illness and is medically documented. And not just illness, but people can have different blood pressure and different heart rate and different EKG and different, like all of these things.
Yes.
And amazing. And it pulse, just all of these things. And I thought, you know, it's amazing when you stop and think about it. And then they would have a personality that has no health issues and one that might have asthma or allergies. And how was that? So you worked around all of that?
Yes, we had several people, and one of the personalities would have super high blood pressure. And then she was a guy, our younger guy, and one of her other personalities. No high blood pressure issues. We always had, she also was a personality of a child. So she'd hop around and play and roll around. And this was a 40-something-year-old woman, you know. And this child always kept falling because he had a problem with his feet and his ankles. But when she was back into her primary personality, she never had issues like this. It was fascinating. But this is the power of the mind, as we're talking about, actually.
Exactly. And but you would think, oh, well, they're just part of the personality, but it's medically documented. Like you were saying, high blood pressure. You can't make that up. I mean, it's there. And that was something that was fascinating to me, because the idea of really healing with the mind, especially given my physical condition, I thought I'm going to need a lot more than the mind. But then when I started looking at it, because I thought, you know, of course, I need something that's serious. But when I started looking at it, and we start looking at even emotions, you know, somebody can have broken heart syndrome and die from broken heart syndrome, or scared to death. They can be so scared their heart stops.
Yes.
And so I started taking emotions a bit more seriously and saying, okay, what, and the mindset more seriously and saying, well, what's really going on? And
yes,
that was pivotal.
I love the fact that, and you know, you talk about that you had an accident, and shocking, mind blowing. What? You're a young woman, and now here you are in a wheelchair with a disability and in such excruciating pain.
Yeah.
And you went to so many doctors, right? Can you tell more about your story? Because I really want people to understand how you came to this knowledge and all of the suffering you had to go through. And I hate those negative words, and I don't mean to persist.
I lived it. I get it. And it's just kind of, you know, when each doctor would say there's nothing else we can do for you, it was kind of that feeling that I would, you know, that feeling of, well, let me talk to your manager kind of thing. And obviously not their manager, but who's some other specialist, but where can you, I mean, I would literally, after they said that, I would beg. I would just be like, there's got to be some referral, somebody, some like wherever, whoever, something. And I would beg until they would just give me something. And then
yeah,
I had been going to this research hospital where I would go in and 3-4 doctors would come in and all assess you at the same time. And then they would leave and try to come up with a plan. Mm-hmm. And so then eventually there was a new study that was being done at the hospital for a brand new procedure. And I thought, oh my gosh, like, this is it. I'm getting my life back. And I felt like a kid counting down the days to Christmas.
Yes.
Yeah, counting down the days for the study. And so finally the day came and it's silly, but I even remember I cared what I wore, which hadn't happened in years. I was like, I felt like I'm going to the hospital to get my life back. I like literally felt that. And so they wheeled me in my wheelchair. I got to the hospital and they get me all prepped for the procedure. And the doctor, he comes in and he's looking at me and he's looking at my chart and he has this look on his face and you can tell something's wrong. And he just says, you know, Miss Gilmore, we don't expect you to get better. You can't be a part of the study. And I felt like I swallowed a tennis ball and I was just trying to choke back the tears. And it just was like, what do you mean?
Yeah. I mean, you poor baby. That is typical about what you talk about in your book. You say, you know, healthcare is a we problem. What do you mean more by that? It's a we problem.
It's a we problem, not a me problem.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is. And it is, because the thing of it is as I started researching and said, okay, well, how am I going to heal myself? And then I start looking at the statistics. There's 1.5 billion people who suffer from chronic pain. So I thought, well, if all of these people, 1.5 billion people are in pain, what chances? Well, I guess one in 1.5 billion chances of healing and getting out of pain.
Right.
And so those odds didn't look good for me.
No. And I know you started exploring, reading, doing everything you could, energy healing, things like that. And you started to do some work with a wonderful person named Dr. Hillary Smith. Can you talk a little bit about how that came about and what you learned?
She's so lovely. Basically, after I healed myself, I wanted to show others that we can do it too. And what happened is after I healed myself, people started asking me to speak. So next thing I know, I'm speaking on stages and I'm sharing with people. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also showing people how to use their own mind to heal. And it took me a bit to reverse engineer and be able to demonstrate it. But then one time I was getting off stage and I thought, you know, someday somebody's going to say that person didn't really have pain, my neck pain. And I thought, you know, they're going to say, oh, that person was fake. And I got to be honest, that probably would have been me before, because I was world's biggest skeptic. I would have said, no, this is not even, fake.
Sure.
So I thought to myself, well, I really need to show this under medical equipment. And so I started looking for medical thermal imaging.
Yeah.
And Dr. Hillary Smith has been doing it for, I think, more than 20 years or ish, you know. And so she's got a long background of working with medical thermal imaging. And I asked her, I said, okay, well, and we put together a protocol. And basically, I started working with people that maybe they have neck pain or back pain or some type of pain. And I would show them how to use their mind to be able to shift that pain and get rid of it.
Right.
And at the same time, she would have them being monitored under thermal imaging. And you can see live on the scan that their pain goes away. The whole scan turns from red to green as their pain goes away. And what I love is that it shows it's not just mind over matter. It's not just positive thinking, but there are real physiological changes taking place. And that, to me, is powerful. It shows you that we are all incredible beings.
We so are. We really are. And there's been, you know, so much literature. And I don't mean to put down big pharma or the medical community, but it is a wee problem. I mean, you know, folks do the best they can. Many of my good friends are doctors, ER doctors. They know what to do. They're on top of it. But, you know, they're just following what they've learned in medical school and protocol. But there is this whole, of course, new opening to consciousness and how we have the power as human beings you know, we're pretty powerful beings. We ape-like species here, you know.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, speaking of, you know, doctors, there was a period of time when I was really frustrated and upset with them. And they are, they're doing what they've learned. And I always tell people, keep seeing your doctor, keep seeing your doctor. And I say, blow your doctor's mind with what you're capable of doing with your own mind. And so one thing that is interesting though, is that a couple weeks ago, I was talking to a gentleman who's been a medical scientist for over 40 years. And he read my book and he was shocked that we actually have energy of the body, light energy, and that it's been medically documented. Now here he is, and wonderful, beautiful man who has been a medical scientist who had no idea that it is proven, that it is in the database of the Smithsonian that's shared with Harvard, that's under the NASA agreement. I mean, these are, there's, and not only that, but the gentleman who discovered energy of the body, medically discovered it, was nominated for a Nobel Prize 11 times. And so it's very real.
Yes. Yes.
But a lot of people don't know. But we don't know that.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And also you wrote a published medical study. It's called Resolving Specific Psychological Stressors Can Instantly Reduce or Relieve Chronic Neck Pain and Upper Back Pain. Case reports. And wow, I read it and I was blown away. And it was scientifically done. You had your hypothesis and of course you had your outcome and it was of great significance. I mean, we do studies and experiments and they have some significance. This had a lot of significance. So I was also really impressed and appreciate that you shared that with everyone too, because thanks. It's the real deal. It's science to those naysayers.
Exactly. That's what I love. And what I also loved about that, it was interesting because one of the case studies in that journal was a gentleman that I worked with and he had a level 6 of pain. And I showed him how to use his mind to release the pain, went down to a 0, pain gone. And after I finished working with him and showing him how to use his mind, he says, wow, I'm shocked that that worked. I just came from a 10-day meditation retreat.
Oh, wow. So
he just was on a healing retreat. So it tells you, though, it's more than just meditation. And he had also been before that to a positivity seminar. And so, you know, like a motivational type of seminar. And so it tells you that, yes, we can be positive. Yes, we can meditate. Yes, we can do all of the things. But the way that I work with the mind to show results like this, it is specific and it does take real change. It's not just about fluffy, like telling yourself you're already healed. It really does require making a real change.
You know, it really does. And you're right, Fluffy. And a shout out to Dr. Joe Dispenza. I've interviewed him before. He's amazing. And he has these retreats and he uses many of the same techniques as you do. However, you have these techniques in your book, which are, for me, they're more user friendly. They're easier to know and think about and utilize. And again, you know, he's amazing. I mean, he's a founder of these principles as well, which I love. By the way, if you just tuned in, guys, Dr. Michelle here, and I'm speaking to my special guest today, Brandi Gilmore. Primarily, we're talking about her amazing book, Master Your Mind and Energy to Heal Your Body. You Can Be Your Own Cure. And, you know, there's so many people around me who I work with and also in the family who have had chronic pain issues. Mm-hmm. So this is brilliant because, I mean, they're saying, you know, I can deal with hardly walking and I can deal with being in the wheelchair or walking with the cane or the walker, but the pain is, and the opiates, and I'm tired of being, I don't want to be an addict. And I'm tired of these topical treatments and all these ultrasound, all these other things that are just not working. And also physical therapy is lovely. It's great. But there's only so much we can do until we decide to change
to create that shift. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And Dispenza is a lovely guy. Absolutely.
He is. You know, he's a cool dude. And he really, that's a pretty bizarre experience lately. I don't know if you've heard about that, but with, you know, the healing modalities, but it is what you're talking about in your book is it is not only a form of it's not meditating, but it's working with your mind in order to produce changes. Let's talk about one of my favorite things. It's about our minds and sort of healing our minds. So the thing is you talk about, besides Hillary Smith, cleaning out your subconscious. I've got your book. I'm scrolling here. Cleaning out your subconscious closet. Yes. I have so many people who come to me and they're like, I'm so afraid of this. They have generalized anxiety or panic, and they have physiological issues and a lot of pain, and they're, and I'm saying, well, think about this. Every day, what I want you to do is really imagine this and feel this and sort of know this. And they're like, well, yeah, but I've tried that. And let's work with that old stuff going on. So can you talk about what you discovered in your process to how we can clean that subconscious mind and actually how it has affected our bodies?
Absolutely. And I think one way to do that is even thinking about the awareness that we have patterned ways of thinking. And if we think about it, you know, somebody might have a pattern of guilt or a pattern of shame or a pattern of rejection or abandonment. And these patterns can attract more of the same. And, you know, if we think about, we could put it in technical terms, we could look at repetition compulsion or reenactments or attachment theory or law of attraction, whatever we want to call it. Right. Basically, like if we look at reenactments or repetition compulsion, it's been shown that our minds will return to the same emotional state. You know, we have neural pathways.
Sure.
And a simple way to illustrate this is if we think about, you know, unfortunately, a woman, it's well known in psychology that, let's say, a woman has an abusive father. She could leave him and find an abusive boyfriend, boss, spouse, et cetera, et cetera. That pattern could unfortunately continue. But we all have different patterns that are running in our lives. And so what happens is we can feel like we've tried everything. We can feel like we've tried positive thinking. We can feel like we're trying to change our lives. Right. And yet situations keep showing up that we don't realize are connected to each other. So we don't think, most people don't think in terms of patterns. And so if they have a bad day here and then a bad day there, they just feel like life is hard and like the stress, but there's connections. And so to create a real change, what I have people do is really look at the patterned way of thinking and feeling and to change that. And a simple way to put it is kind of just to put it in perspective. It's like this. If we simplify it and we say different emotions affect the body differently. If somebody's embarrassed, their face can turn red. Nervous stomach or panic attack from anxiety or sexual thought, sexual physical response, different for men and women. But we can see different emotions created a very different outcome in the body. And so what I started looking at is, what are the rest of the other emotions doing? What's hurt doing? What's criticism doing? What's self-criticism? What's anger? What are these other emotions doing? And looking at really repatterning them.
Yes. Yes, exactly. No, you are so right. And repatterning it, and it's sort of going back into, I mean, there really is something to be said about psychodynamic, you know, therapy. And this is, you know, what I've learned and all this throughout these years and a lot of my colleagues. And it's all about, you know, you don't want to dig too deep because you don't want to touch on those flashbulb moments of horrific fear, but you really want to, you know, pull out those memories of some of the pain or look at it and say, whoa, I'm connecting this. And this is how my body is reacting, even though, you know, the studies, right? If you're stressed out, or if you want to relax, let's just say, the mind doesn't know the difference. If you're imaging and feeling that you're sitting on that beach in Hawaii, I have a beach, my favorite, and you're seeing, you're feeling in your mind, your imagery, you're feeling the ocean and the warmth, and you're seeing the little Honu turtles and the fish and the white sands, and I am there when I'm in my, I'm like, oh yeah. The brain doesn't know the difference if it's there or if you're sitting in the office imaging it, right? That's it.
It's amazing when we really, really get good at visualization, how well that works. And I always tell people whenever they do visualize something, that it is also really important to set it as being an intention instead of an escape. And this is the reason why.
Love it.
So let's say that somebody feels stressed and then they say, oh, I just want to escape and picture myself somewhere else. And stressed, and then they picture somewhere else. Now, this is the problem, is we want to remember that everything that we repeatedly do, our brain catches on with. It's like the best AI ever. And it will learn, right? And do it automatically, just like we learn to tie our shoes. Before you know it, we tie our shoes without thinking. Or if we've ever done this before, where we're driving somewhere, yeah, that you've been to before, and you get to your destination, and you realized you were checked out for part of the drive.
Oh, God, yeah.
So if our brains can go on autopilot while driving, which I am not suggesting, I'm just saying, I think most of us have experienced that, or even on the subway, that can happen. So what happens is this, is I've seen people who were visualizing or meditating in a way where they're checking out. They're going, life is stressful, life is stressful, let's check out. Life is stressful. And then the brain starts going, hey, I know what to do when stress happens. I check out. Now, when I've worked with people with Alzheimer's, that's what I've found, is that their brain has a pattern of checking out and going somewhere else.
Right.
So that's the pattern. Or even if you think about it, another thing that I've seen happen is that people who meditate a lot in this way, and I did this.
Right.
I know this from experience. Like, I was not present anymore because my brain just wanted to escape. And so what's fascinating is this, is that when we drive to a destination and we go on autopilot, the way that we know that we did it is because we kind of come to presence in a different destination and we go, oh my God, what happened? But otherwise, we wouldn't even know. And so a lot of times what happens is we can have moments of checking out, and we don't realize that we're just not being present.
God, yes. Yeah.
And So what I would say is, when we're picturing Hawaii in this beautiful place, that we're all going to picture being with Dr. Michelle in Hawaii.
Oh, I'm sitting there like a log.
Well, if you look to your left, I'm sitting next to you.
That's right.
But really though, when we have that vision saying, okay, this is, so it's not a, so we're using our brains in a way where we say, we're not checking out.
Yes.
We're instead, I would say, make sure we're not checking out. We want to check in. And then also that when we be intent, we're intentional. We say, okay, our thoughts help create our lives. I want to picture, what do I want to be doing?
Yes.
And start moving in that direction, I think is key also.
Yeah, so it's action as well. I mean, a lot of people say it's all up here, but you also have to combine that action and make plans. It's just sort of what, you know, what you can do to start the process of living that best life.
Well and, said.
Well, and I, no, no, that's what you talk about. You said it. But, but I, and I think the cool thing is overcoming. I have a little cold, so I'm sorry. but it's overcoming that, you know, urge to go, oh, I'm going to go back in the fear because I'm not quite ready because it hasn't really shown me before that I can do really well. So it's when we actually, you can explain this process, sort of plan the action, right?
Yeah, I would say this is, there's a few things that happen. One thing that happens is as we retrain our brains, our subconscious habits start to change. And a simple way to say it is this. A simple example is, let's say that somebody has had a lot of abandonment,
right?
And or rejection. And so in a relationship, typically they might have some common patterns. One, they might be really, really needy. And so, which if they're really, really needy in a relationship, it can attract rejection, or they may be hot and cold where they want to connect, but then they don't. And then they want to connect and they don't, which again can attract rejection because it's hard to connect with somebody who's hot and cold, or They might just expect it and be disconnected, in which case they then create it, or they're easily hurt. And then all of a sudden somebody's in a connect, in a relationship, some type of relationship with them. And they're like, God, this person is hurt over every little thing. This is too much. And so it ends up perpetuating the problem. So these subconscious behaviors continue to perpetuate the problem. And so we have our subconscious mind, there are programming, you know, the hurt, the wound, and it perpetuates. And so similarly, what can happen on a positive note is that as we train our brains for success or happiness or love or confidence, we start showing up in a different way, even if it's, you know, subconsciously, but then also consciously. And another way to illustrate this is to think about, let's say, for example, a writer who has writer's block. So let's say there's a writer who has writer's block. They can't think about what to write. They can't think about, but then if they open their mind to what to write, the information starts coming through.
Yes.
And so I would say another way to look at it is the more we visualize and program our minds, the more we say, oh, I have more ideas. Oh, I could take action on this. Oh, I could do that. And it's like the more we open our mind to ideas and then we take action on.
Yes. No, that makes so much sense. Beautifully said. It's really true. And I, you know, we, the more we learn that we can, and I hate to say the word control, you know, that's a lot, but we have confidence in ourselves. We have confidence in the fact that, wow, I did this and this is going to happen, and we can see, actually see the results. And I know this is sort of, but a lot of people refer to it, but how do you feel about the concept of, you know, our own inner higher power? We all have that within us. We have that higher self, but we've been shoved down by fears and physical illness and, like you said, rough upbringings, things like that. But what would you say about that higher self that we all have?
Absolutely. I would say, you know, I tend to call it like kind of like universal Wi-Fi.
Yes. And
that, you know, just like we connect our cell phones to Wi-Fi, that everything is energy. Our bodies emit energy. Everything is energy.
Yep.
And that we can get information from our energy, but I would say this is part of the problem.
Yeah.
Is that, and a simple way to kind of illustrate this is if we think about, we've heard before, animals, that if there's some type of natural disaster happening, they can all migrate, or birds fly south for the winter, or, I mean, there's, or animals know if, you know, there's different ways that we can see where animals or even humans can tap in. And I would say that we've lost a lot of that connection because, first and foremost, we're not used to using it for most of us.
Yes.
And then I would also say that when we have a lot of emotions and we have a lot of stress, then it makes it harder to hear. It's like trying to hear somebody across the room in a loud restaurant. And the more chaos that's in there, the harder it's going to be to hear them across the room. But if we silence and we actually remove the chaos, then we can hear a lot easier. Yeah.
That makes so much sense. It really is. You know, get that fogginess of all the stimuli and all the thoughts and everything like that. And finally, it's like, oh, okay. By the way, in case you just tuned in here visually or audio, Brandi Gilmore is my special guest today, and she is an amazing author and teacher, and we're going to talk about her gifts she also acquired to help others heal. The book is called Master Your Mind and Energy to Heal Your Body. You can be your own cure, and you can, as evidenced not only by her book, but also in her scientific study that she did, measuring the ability of people to manage their physical issues, heal, and their pain as well. And, you know, the thermal energy testing was brilliant, what you found, some of the results. So we're going to talk about some of the other things that you learned as well, and how you eventually segued into healing the energy of others. I mean, how did that come about? And that was pretty cool. And I know the way that you do that work, but I know it. I know you're really good at it because of all of the accolades that I read.
Thank you. Thank you. And what I always tell people is that I'm just showing them how to use their mind, that each of us has the power. And what's interesting about energy is that research has shown that as we shift our emotions and our mindset, that it actually also simultaneously shifts the energy of our body. And this isn't just energy, just a spiritual notion, that there's actually biophotons that are emitting from our physical body. And that's been medically proven. And it's even been being studied in top hospitals and, you know, it's top databases, and it's incredible.
It really is. I think, you know, the mind body connection, you know, heart brain coherence, all the studies done, you know, at the HeartMath Institute in Palo Alto and all that. And the fact that we do have those biophotons that, what do they say? It's like, we can actually read and extend our own energy. 3 meters, almost sort of kind of maybe 8 feet around us is that energy that's being emitted, and others are picking it up and we're putting it out there.
It's amazing. What's also fascinating is that research has shown that diabetes, that somebody who has type 2 diabetes emits different patterns of energy than somebody who doesn't, or cancer cells emit different patterns of energy than non-cancerous cells. And just to kind of give context for biophotons real quick, is that basically the way to think about a photon is, if we think about a light bulb, it emits particles of light, which are called photons, or even the sun emits particles of light that are called photons. Now, a biophoton is a particle of light that is emitted by a biological organism. So a human body, for example, or an animal, or a plant. And so what happens is we're emitting these little particles of light. Now, when these were discovered, which was technically 100 years ago, so 1923, when they were discovered, they were initially called mitogenetic radiation. And they were discovered by a man called Alexander Gerswich. So, and he was nominated because of this discovery for the Nobel Prize 11 times. And he was granted like a similar type of Nobel Prize.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Research study where researchers had participants visualize white light, and it increased the biophotons coming on the right side of the head, but not the left. And so it's incredible. Just when we start to look at that, there's more to the human equation than most people are realizing.
It is so true. And this is again, proven time and time again. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, Randy Gilmore, you have done an amazing research scientific study. I mean, it was brilliant, and with significant results about self-healing with the mind, and as evidenced by what we were seeing in the changes in the body through the thermal energy measures. So,
you know what gave me the idea to do that was multiple personality disorder, because after I healed myself, or, you know, now called dissociative identity disorder, but after I healed myself, I thought, you know, I really want to show others that this is possible, because I would not have believe that I could heal myself with my mind. I mean, yes, we've all heard stress affects the body. We've all heard stress even affects cancer. We've heard stress affects autoimmune conditions. So we know, it's like we've all heard that stress affects this or stress affects the white blood cells and the immune system. So we've all heard these things or even the placebo, but taking it to the next level to say, yes, well, how do we heal using this? How do we really use this? And so we've all heard these things. And so, but when I really thought and analyzed multiple personalities, the awareness that medically, that a person could have different ailments in different personalities, I thought, you know, this has to be possible. And the fun thing is it a lot of times I like to take people who don't believe it's even possible. So somebody might say, this can't be possible. I'm like, okay, great.
Yeah.
Let's work together under medical equipment. Let me show you so you can see it. Because I love blowing people's minds. I love people saying, oh my gosh, we can do this.
That is so cool. I love that, Brandy. And also, you know, folks, if you want to tune in to also TEDx, Brandy Gilmore's TEDx talk, it's very powerful. You're coming out onto the stage in a wheelchair. And you're talking about, you know, as you kind of open up and unravel your journey, you're talking about how you healed and your, you know, kind of your posture's down and your, you know, the emotion is very heavy for you because you're sharing your journey. And then you start to unravel the positives and you stand up and you're rocking these high heels, girl. And you're walking around the stage. It's like people are like, oh my gosh, you know, so it's very.
I love high heels. Most, I know a lot of people don't. I think after my injury, I was just, I just love high heels. And so it's funny because when I stood up, there were people in the audience in tears. And that's what I love to do is I love to move people, to make them feel motivated to say, let me do this. Let me try this. Let me do this because I know for me to spend so many years struggling and feeling like there was nothing and every diet and supplement and cleanse and detox and, treatments and everything. Right. The last thing I would have thought that my own mind could do this.
Amazing. And I just love that you're sharing your story with us because this is brilliant and it's real stuff, folks. It is the real deal. And,
you know, go ahead. That's the thermography and kind of just to describe what happens with it is kind of to give you a visual is that if anybody's ever had, you know, where you sprain an ankle or you have an infection, you can feel heat from the body.
Yeah.
What happens is any type of illness or infection emits heat and medical thermal imaging is able to detect this at a very advanced, it has a very advanced ability to detect any temperature changes. And so you can see different illness or ailments in the body, essentially. And so when I've worked with Dr. Hillary Smith or even other doctors, they'll scan the body and you can see the neck pain. And what happens is neck pain, you'll see a big red area over the neck when somebody has neck pain or if they have back pain, there's a big red area over the back. And then as I show them to shift their mind, it literally, you'll see it change immediately. And as they're using their mind. And what's also kind of interesting is that then if we go back into the old mindset, you'll literally see the pain come back and the scan shows it and the person sees it. So it's not mind over matter. It's not placebo analgesia. It's you can see that there's a real shift taking place.
Yes.
Now,
that's beautiful.
And I know this sounds really easy, but I want to emphasize that there are certain things to getting results. It sounds easy to just say, oh, it'll just change your emotions. To bring in a complexity of an awareness, it's this. It's that we talked about needing to change your patterned way of thinking and feeling, but there's also something that I call emotion-controlled consciousness or emotion-controlled perception. And it's this.
Mm-hmm.
It's that if we're, let's say we're really, really in love with somebody, what do? We see all of the good and all the positive in them.
Right.
And it's automatic. Our brain is doing this automatically. But if we're upset with somebody or we've had an argument, our brains can go back to the argument over and over and over or fault find in the person automatically. without us trying to do that. And so what happens is that our emotions, what we're really feeling at a deeper level, controls what we're thinking about and controls what we see and perceive. Yes. So it controls our consciousness. And so part of creating a real change is that we have to create a way, we have to create a shift in the way the brain is really perceiving and automatically acting and feeling. And so that shift, so when we create, there's certain details that are so important to getting real results.
Oh, that's so true. And those details and information are in your book, Master Your Mind and Energy to Heal Your Body, and You Can Be Your Own Cure. And I was just wondering, we have about maybe like 5 minutes left. I could talk to you for hours, by the way. I wish this show was really longer, but that's
likewise,
the way it works, right?
Likewise. You're so lovely. You just, and you have this beautiful heart. Yeah, I likewise.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. You too, my dear. So
thank you.
Oh. But I mean, it's like, I just want to pull so much, from your mind, but maybe we could just do a little live exercise as to how, you know, you would talk to someone, let's just say the people who are listening, who, you know, are having fears of not healing. They're feeling really negative about a physical condition and or the pain that they're suffering with. So what little maybe quickies might you suggest we do, or if you want to do an exercise, that would be cool too, whatever you feel like.
Absolutely. I would say if somebody's suffering from a lot of pain and feeling very, very stuck, what I did personally is my mind started scaring me. Like I didn't want to live anymore, and my brain was just going there. Sure. And I was in all this pain, and it was hard. And there's a few key things that I started doing. One is I said to myself, you know, maybe you've heard before, endorphins are the body's natural painkiller. Mm-hmm. And I thought, gosh, I need some more endorphins. I need something to get out of pain. And keep in mind, I was on morphine at the time, Avenza. I was on lidoderm, so lidocaine patches. I was on Naprosyn. I was on Vioxx before it got taken off the market. I'm Norco. At the same time, I mean, I was on all of these medications and I was still in a lot of pain. And so one of the things that I did is I said, okay, look, I just need to start feeling happier and I need to create some endorphins. I need to get out of pain. I really need to create a shift. And to shift my mindset, to create a real shift, you know, we've heard of positive thinking. Sure. Now, the problem is that you have to think about it and you don't really feel it and it takes effort. And what I started realizing is, okay, our brains work in patterns. And so for me to really get to start making an actual shift, I need to create a new positive pattern. So I started working on positive emotional patterning. And the easiest way to really think about it is this, is that, you know, if we pictured a big field of grass, and if we take a walk through the grass every day a different way, we never create a path. But if we walk through the same way over and over and over and over and over again, we create a path. And then we can walk the path and we don't even have to think about it. It just becomes automatic.
Right.
And so what I started doing is I started saying, okay, well, I need a new positive neural pathway. So my brain automatically starts going into the positive for me. So it's serving me because it's not there.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's one thing I did. I didn't say, okay, well, I just think positive. I need to feel it. I need to create a new positive neural pathway. And so what I would say is doing that. And one simple thing that you can do that's really, really, really simple is to use music to do it. And pick a song. And it's not a happy playlist, because if you think about a happy playlist, it's a whole bunch of songs, which means it's walking through the field a whole bunch of new ways. I picked a song, and I would literally set everything aside, all my stress, my fear, my upset, my frustration, all of it. And I would just basically make myself feel as euphoric as possible to this song. And I would amplify it for no reason and every reason. I would just immerse myself in this. Yeah. And as I did over and over and over and over and over again, it became easier and easier and easier. And then it would start to stick.
Yes.
Kind of like if something wonderful happened in the morning and you feel like you're glowing for the rest of the day, it started to do that. So it started to create a lasting effect And of course, I had to release the negative. So I don't want to make it sound like, sure. Oh, this is all you need.
That's for sure.
But thinking in terms of neural pathways and start like the details are so, when you take little things and then you just dial them in, it becomes easier to make a shift. And that was an easy thing that I did that was pivotal because very simply, it's this.
Right.
For us to create a new neural pathway, we have to get the information in repeatedly. It's kind of like memorizing the alphabet. We have to do it over and over and over again, and then we can memorize it, and then it gets stored.
Right.
For me to be able to access positive emotions over and over and over and over again would be impossible at that point.
Right.
Except for I used a song to then hack the process so I could just feel it as much as possible.
Exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever works. No, that's beautiful. Really
simple. Simple. That's and beautiful. Yet, go ahead.
It is simple. Exactly. I mean, there is that thing, you know, that whole scientific information thing too about you talked about being in the now. When we're into music or we're creating and we're into it, we're living now. Every beat, even though you may know the note coming up, you're switching into those blue tones and you're like, yes, you know, so it's very healing. And I really get what you're saying. And that's a great example. Lovely example.
Thank you. Well, and something that was key is a lot of times people want to listen to, like the two songs that I did that were my first two songs was Beautiful Day by U2. Now think about this.
No kidding.
Right.
Yes.
I'm injured in extreme pain, not even wanting to live. And here I am going, it's a beautiful day. Don't let it slip away.
Beautiful.
And so it's not probably the song. Like, so I was programming information and emotions in my mind. And the other one was Walking on Sunshine by Katrina and the Waves. So who does that? They're laying in all this pain and walking in sunshine and it's going to feel good. I mean, so I was very specific and intentional about it.
Yes.
But
the messages that are being said and you're there, you're walking on sunshine. You're like, oh yeah. So, but we're out of time, darn it. So
I know. You're lovely. You absolutely are. I could spend all day with you. It's been a pleasure being here.
It's lovely to have you, and I appreciate you. So I've been so waiting for this interview. Woohoo! So
Thank you.
I feel the same way. You're the best. You're lovely.
Thank you. Likewise. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. And by the way, pick up the book, guys. It's available anywhere. Master Your Mind and Energy to Heal Your Body. Brandi Gilmore, you did it. She did it.
Others too. I share other people's story in there as well. It's incredible.
It is incredible.
Oh. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Welcome. Oh, thank you. Blessings to you, my dear, and keep up the wonderful work.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, guys. Thanks for being with me here on the couch. It's Dr. Michelle Cohen. And as I always say, take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for others. Thanks for joining me.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.